Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Platinum 2 Executive Director Randy Moore from Oklahoma, and I want to welcome everyone to tonight's Tuesday, September 4th, 2012, More Success Team Legal Shield Group Conference Call. We usually host this monthly call on the first Monday of every month, but since yesterday was a holiday, we're hosting it tonight. And each month, we have a special group trainer that shares information with our team about working the group marketing aspect of Legal Shield. And tonight, to introduce our special guest speaker, I want to go all the way to Ada, Oklahoma. He is an original Millionaire Club member. He's a $500,000 ring earner, and, of course, he's the leader of our More Success team now for nearly 30 years, and that is Mr. Ken Moore. Mr. Moore, are you on?
I'm right here, and I wouldn't miss this call for anything, Randy, because I am so very, very proud of this next speaker, what she's accomplished, what she's gone through over the years, and how she's just takes everything and just keeps going no matter what her motto is. Don't quit, just keeps going ahead. And I tell you what, she's a multiple Golden Apple Award. I mean, multiple top retention award. And I can't say that enough. She served as RVP, and she served as group trainers over many states, platinum jacket earner, $200,000 plus income earner, millionaire club member, performance club member, taught group schools in, let's say, over 20 states. I can't remember how many, but it's over 20 states, been in business 25 years, Randy. Even in the early days, had to put up with me and Wilbur Smith. My honor and my privilege not to only introduce one of the top stars on the Moore Success Team, but a personal friend of mine, Miss Linda Bowden.
Wow, Ken. No, it's an honor for me to be able to talk to you and all the great people that are on the call tonight. And it's almost surreal. You know, when you're talking about me, it doesn't even seem like it's me. It's like 25 years. What does that mean? I'm ready to do 25 more. And, you know, when you do a call like this, you know, you want to do a great job because there's people that are new, there's people that have been around for a while, and there's people who are very, very seasoned in the group business, and they do it full time. So, you know, it's always an honor to do a call like this. And I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight. You know, I was trying to think of just kind of a little angle to go on because there's so much to the group business. There's a lot to the group business, but it's also, if you keep it simple, it can be a very simple business. It's just a matter of doing repetition and being consistent and doing the same activities, the activities that you enjoy doing over and over and over again, whether it's calling on groups on the phone or going out in your car and doing face-to-face with the groups to get them set up. It just is going to depend on what you enjoy doing the most. That's the very first thing, is the group business should be very enjoyable. It should be very fun. And if it's enjoyable and fun, it will then be extremely rewarding. And I just remember, you know, in the beginning, the only tools that you really needed was a car, gasoline for the car, and a place to go. I mean, that was us doing the group business. I put 40,000 miles on my brand-new car the very first year that I was in group marketing. Why? Because I was all over the place. Now, I don't recommend that. There wasn't a lot of method to the madness the first half of that year. I was trying to figure things out. But, you know, it was what I did, and it was what I watched Wilburn and Ken do. So I modeled exactly what they did. And at some point, you're going to get in your car, or you're going to get on a plane and then get in the car, like Jimmy Parrish does, and then you're going to do your group. So, the tools of the trade can be as simple as a car, a few materials, gasoline for the car, and a definite place to go. So the first rule of thumb that I ever learned in group marketing, and this is the very first thing that Ken taught me, and it's so simple, it's ridiculous, and yet I know today not many people practice this rule. Not as many people practice this rule as they should, and you can tell by their productivity whether or not they're doing this, and that is this. You always leave the house before 8 in the morning, and you never return until after 5. Now, why is that? This is for people who are working group full-time. Now, there's different hours. If you're working a hospital, you may be working that shift in the middle of the night. I remember talking to a group of nurses in the middle of the night. I had no brains. I had no sense. I put materials in front of them, told them to read away. If they had any questions, asked me, and they all signed up. That was pretty miraculous. So that was different than the 8 to 5. But to get my group business really going, and maybe if you need to really reignite your group business, let's say it's just kind of not quite going where you want it to go, then you need to start committing to that 8 to 5 mentality, because the group business particularly or generally is during the day. Of course, there's always going to be exceptions. There could be some meetings you do at night. You know, like I did some association meetings at night. I did police officer associations, some of their night meetings. One of my favorite meetings, I actually did it on my birthday. I drove 2.5 hours to go to a meeting. It was for a police officer association. 6 people showed up in a real smoky, dark pool hall. Now, this is, think about this, smoky, dark pool hall on my birthday, but I was committed because I told them I would be there. And I thought, oh, my gosh, 6 people showed up. It was very informal. I think they're probably drinking as well. But I did my presentation anyhow. It wasn't 8 to 5. It was definitely after 5. It took me 2.5 hours to get there. It was on my birthday. I postponed it to the next day. That didn't matter. I did my presentation. I left. But because of that commitment and because of the time commitment, about a month later, I get this phone call. Hi, this is the brand new chief for the city of Flagstaff. I was at your meeting a month ago, and I would like for you to come in, and I would like for you to offer this your services to all of our police department. True story. I had free reign of that police department for many years. And because I made that commitment before, because I went to that meeting, because I went to that meeting after hours, no matter what day of the year it was, I just went and did it anyhow. So the time commitment is really critical, you guys. If you're not seeing enough productivity in your group business, you need to check your time. You need to be honest with yourself. Are you really out there in the field when you're supposed to be? If you're making calls, are you really sticking to a time schedule and making those calls? If you can't work out of your home, and a lot of people can't, you guys, I know we're in an in-home business, but let's be honest here, a lot of you struggle with staying home and actually getting work done. You know, some of you want to vacuum or do your laundry or whatever you do at home, and you're always in the refrigerator. I know who you are, you know, and you're struggling with getting those calls done. Then leave. Go out. Get dressed. Get your work clothes on. Get in your car. You know, check, you know, MapQuest or wherever you're going and go out there and get started. So that was the first rule. The first rule was really about being out and being active. So, you know, the night before I would go out, I would always look at a map, and I still do. You know, you guys, I sit here, I've got 2 atlases beside me am on my desk. To this day, I still absolutely love maps. I look at maps. If I'm talking to someone and they're from, say, Nebraska, I'm looking at the state of Nebraska. I'm trying to figure out where they are. I'm looking at all the small towns around where they are. Every time I pick up a map and I see a state that are full of small towns, I get excited because that's where I used to love to work. I could just visualize all the business that could be done there. Okay? When I worked, I would look at a map, and I would figure out where I was going to go the next day. Now, you might go online and look at some of the services online and figure out what groups you want to do, but always do that the night before. Be prepared. Get up. Have all your materials and supplies ready, maybe even already in the car, and get out of the house. Okay? I always preferred working in the smaller communities. I still do. I was trained in the small towns in Oklahoma. Even when I worked in Arizona extensively, I worked in all the small towns outside of Phoenix. I just loved it. I preferred it because the people were friendlier and they were much more approachable, and I rarely had to deal with an HR director. Now, you do a little bit more now, but I would usually just go out, and I would always deal with Vito, and Vito is your very important top officers. I would talk to the top of the food chain wherever I would go. I'd talk to an owner, a superintendent, a hospital administrator, whoever I could see at the top of the totem pole, that's who I'd be talking to. For those of you that use Reference USA, you're going to know who everybody is. You're going to know the addresses. You're going to know how many employees they have. they're going to know, you know, about things about their business. You are going to already have all that information when you go out. I used to have to go out and figure out what that information was. And so you need to decide what size groups you want to work. You know, I always, always recommend, and I still to this day recommend when anybody asks me, I always recommend small to medium-sized groups. If you're brand new, start small, okay? Start small. Don't go to the largest group in the area. Start with the smallest groups in the area. That way, nobody cares. They don't know whether you know your presentation. They don't know how afraid you are. They don't know that you flub your lines. They don't know that you forgot your pens. They really don't know, and they probably don't care. So you start with your small groups, and then you work your way up. Start with groups, the type of groups that you would enjoy working with. For example, if your background, let's say your background is medical. You're a nurse. And, you know, you might want to start with chiropractors or medical centers or small hospitals because you kind of understand the language. You kind of know the background. You pick groups that really you can identify with and start there. That's what I would recommend. Now, you could pick out Reference USA and just do a patchwork quilt of groups and just, you know, go out and do a bunch of different type of groups in an area if you want to. But my recommendation for you is to pick organizations, associations, pick your municipalities, if that's what you enjoy. Pick the type of groups that you can identify with and start there. I started in small communities around Oklahoma City. What I would do is I would go out and I would start with a school. The first, see, my background, I got my teaching degree, so I was a certified teacher, so I would start with a school. And I would stop in, and I would stop in and see the superintendent. I would always go for the superintendent. I would not go to the business manager. I would not go to a principal, okay? I always started with Vito. Vito is your very important top officer. I would always start with the superintendent. And even today, in some of your smaller schools, you can start with the superintendent. You really can. I would then go to City Hall, and I would either go to the city manager's office. If the city manager was busy, I would go to the police department and see the police chief, maybe do a mini presentation, say, you know, glad hand, say, here's who I am, here's what I'm going to do, and, you know, I'm going to be offering this service to all the employees of this community. I just thought I'd let you know because it's something that would be very, very helpful for your officers, for the people that work in the police department, and here's why. I would go over to the fire department, and I would glad hand the fire chief, and I wouldn't spend much time. I would just stop in. It was real informal. You know, I wouldn't have all these materials or anything with me. I would just stop in and say, hi, I just wanted to meet you. I'm here today. I'm going to see if I can be meeting with the city manager. I'm going to be offering this program, hopefully through your city. And that way I would kind of get the fire chief and the police chief to kind of conspire with me to see if I could get the program in through City Hall. So that's kind of how I would do that, and I really did do it that way. I mean, you guys would be amazed. I could tell you some crazy stories, and, for example, how I opened up the city of Moore. No one could open up the city of Moore. I remember that. Even Wilmer Smith couldn't open the city of Moore, but I got the city of Moore open, and I kind of did it that way with a twist. So, you know, one school district, for example, that I would stop in at took me 8 years to get. I mean, this happens, you guys, you know. Someone today was saying, you know, I just want immediate, you know, I want everything to happen right now. And I'm like, well, you know, some will see you right now, but the real world is that you need to start warming people up. You need to start creating relationships. You need to be consistent. You need to continue to stop in and see people until you get the school district that took 8 years to get, right? I would then go to the local medical center. So here's what I would do. I would stop and see the school, see if the proper people were around, see if the superintendent was around. I'd stop in at City Hall, see if the city manager was in or the police chief or the fire chief. I would then stop in the local medical center. Or if there was a small hospital, I would stop in to a small hospital, you know, and see if the administrator was in. And sometimes, for example, you know, you're going to some of your larger places, you won't be able to maybe do it quite this way. But I know your small towns, you still can. I know you can. I would love to do that today. I look around, I go, oh, my God, this would be so much fun. You know, if the administrator says to you, well, you know, I've got to talk to the board, okay, what do you do when someone says, I've got to talk to the board? You always insist. You always insist. I would always insist, I'll talk to the board. After all, you know, I'm the expert. I only need 10 minutes and maybe 20 if there's some Q&A. Usually they always have questions, but I can get this done very, very quickly. In Arizona, I became kind of an expert at opening up fire districts. Because of my experience with opening up municipalities, you know, small towns and community and cities, I really knew a lot about working with fire districts. So whenever possible, I would go right to the chief, and I would talk to the chief, and sometimes I would go through the PFFA. The PFFA is the Professional Firefighters Association. So some of my groups, we would go through the chief. Some of them, we would go through the PFFA. It would just depend upon how the group felt. If the fire chief had some kind of a, you know, I sent some kind of an attitude, if there was a lot of conflict between, like, say, the chief and you know, let's say the firefighters, then I would always go to the PFFA, because if there's conflict there, and if you have a fire chief or a police chief, for example, or even a school administrator that recommends you and your services, and they don't like that fire chief, or they do not like the police chief, or they do not like the owner of the company that you're in, then it's going to be difficult to even work the group. No matter how easy it is to get into the group, and even if you're in front of all the employees, if there is conflict there, chances are you're not going to be writing any business. You're going to have to wait until that fire chief retires, or that school administrator retires, or the owner of the company leaves, or something like that. It's just the way it works, okay? Part of the psychology of working these groups. I then joined the Arizona Fire District Association, because several of my fire chiefs were very active in the association. I think one of them was the president, and I think the other one was like the treasurer or stuff. You know, it's a big clue if you've got a fire chief that you're real friendly with and he's the president of an association. You know, if his sidekick is the secretary of the association, you also have that fire district, you want to join their association, you know. And it was really fun when you do, because then you're, of course, along the way, you're going to pick up other fire districts. They're going to see you. They're going to recognize you. When you become active in the area you're working in, you know, you want to do things like you want to join the chamber, okay? Or you want to join a business networking group, or you want to join an association for HR directors, you know. Join some professional associations. There's all kinds of professional associations in every area. You know, just like I joined the Arizona Fire District Association. Be very, very visible. And all these things I'm telling you guys, this is just so basic. But if you can master the basics, then you can do extremely well in group business. Be very, very visible. Let people know who you are and what you do. And I know this is going to sound kind of odd coming from me, but don't sell everybody all the time. Know when to turn it off. Know when you're creating relationships. You know, you just got to be so careful, especially in today's world. You know, we used to just roll into town and we'd be talking to everybody, and it was really simple. It's not as easy in today's world. People want to like you and trust you. Those are the first two things the first rule, I guess you could say, I learned from Tom Hopkins is people must like you and they must trust you. So you be real careful. You're developing relationships, and down the road you're going to have memberships roll in. So just remember that. A lot of this is going to be developing relationships. Let the people warm up to you and let the people trust you. Volunteer something else that you need to start doing is volunteer your time and your resources. Be prepared to spend money and develop your business. I remember Catherine Walden used to yell at us and tell us not to be tightwads with our business. They used to think it was so hilarious, but it's so true. You're going to need to spend money to be able to cultivate your groups in your region. And I'll tell you what, once you get that principle, you know, and if you don't have a lot of money, if you're just starting out, then just start with little things. It doesn't have to be big things. Just little things. There's little things people remember forever when you do little things for them. For example, one of my very small school districts had a very ambitious administrator. I mean, she was amazing. It was practically a one-room schoolhouse. I think it was maybe like two- or three-room schoolhouse. And she was always looking to raise money to get, you know, for her school in any way she could, you know, to make her school better. So I bought books for their library. I bought my favorite childhood books. I went to the bookstore and I picked up all my favorite books, you know, Charlotte's Web, Curious George. I had a blast. It was so much fun looking at all my favorite books that I loved when I was a kid and bringing them and giving them to one of my schools. Why? Because I really wanted to. It was really fun. Another school, I bought all the red ribbons for Drug Awareness Month. You know how they have them, you know, Drug Awareness Month, and they have these red ribbons that everybody would wear. I bought the red ribbons for one of my school districts. You know, as I said, you know, you're doing these things, you're making it fun, you're giving to these groups because these groups are supporting you. I remember donating several hundred dollars. This is for a spay and neutering campaign. I'm really big into animals. I'm really big into saving animals. And one of my municipalities had a campaign for people to bring in their pets to make sure they were all spayed and neutered around town so there wouldn't be any unwanted pets roaming the streets. And so I donated to that campaign. The lady that was part of the animal control, she was over the animal control for that particular municipality. She was extremely passionate about this program, and I was happy to donate to this program. And, of course, you know, she let me see all of her employees. I mean, it just was natural. It was something that I really loved to do, and in return, she loved having me in, and everybody wanted to have me there. It just sort of worked out that way. You know, and as I said, do these things because they are fun. And they're saying thank you to a community that is supporting you. And when approaching groups, you know, just real simple things. You know, people are like, so what do you bring in when you go to a group? Well, if I was to go out today and do exactly what I'm talking about right now, and I know I could just go out today and do this very same thing, when I would go out and I approach a group, I would simply bring with me a legal pad, those legal pads that has a spiral at the top, and a pen, and that's it. I mean, I walk in with just as very little as possible, okay? I'm going in with the attitude that I'm just going in to do a little fact-finding, okay? I always have an app and an information sheet, maybe a will questionnaire at the very back of my pad. So at the back pages, I just flip them up. If, you know, if someone wants to see something on the spot, then I do have information right with me, okay? And so I always have apps and I always have information folders prepared and in the car. So the night before you go out or, you've got your file boxes, whatever it is that you carry all your supplies in, and you've got your packets ready to go, you've got extra everything with you. I mean, bring everything with you. I have pens. I buy pens by the hundreds. I have pens that have my name on them and my phone number on them. I make sure that I have pens with my name, and I might put something, I think I put Life Events Legal Plans and my phone number on them. Okay? So I always have pens with me that I can hand out. You know, always have folders that are prepared for veto, very important top officer, in case they want to see more information. If I go in, and if they want to see me on the spot, a lot of times they don't, but every once in a while, somebody, if you're there early, you know, if you're there early and they're just having their morning coffee and nobody else is around, they may just allow you to come in at that point and say, you know, sir, I do have an information folder. Would you mind if I go out to the car and get it? I might ask permission to do that. If that's what I think is necessary, that's what I will do. So you're always prepared. In recent years, and this is something that is kind of a side note, in recent years, we actually developed an identity theft workshop. And I'll tell you what, this is one of the probably one of the most fun I've really had in the group business is doing these identity theft workshops. My fire departments were my guinea pigs. I figured if I could keep firefighters' attention for more than 5 minutes, then I had a really cool finished product and created an identity theft workshop. Now, the identity theft workshop was a game changer. And it could be a game changer for old groups, for a lot of you, especially if you're getting groups that have been around for a long time. I have groups that have been around for 20 years. If you're working groups that are either aged, or if you have some groups that are really difficult, okay, this is a game changer, okay? So we started with the fire departments. We would do an identity theft workshop. Okay, you could do one in 20 minutes. You could do one in 30 minutes. You could do a lunch and learn. You know, everybody goes to lunch. You could buy lunch. Everybody goes to lunch. And we would do an identity theft workshop. Okay, so we started with the fire departments. We branched out to associations, churches, banks, and then real estate offices. And we created a little flyer. You know, you could just have a little legal shield or, you know, flyer, but you're going to want to have it about your identity theft workshop, that we just walk into a real estate office, you know, ask for the broker. Broker would come out and say, you know what, we're doing these free identity theft workshops in the area. We thought maybe you might want to be included. Here's what we need to do. So from there, we got to speak at Board of Realtors, and the Board of Realtors refers to other Board of Realtors, and you could see so on and so forth. It is an excellent source of referrals. It is an excellent source of creating goodwill in the community. Everybody, as you guys know, love to talk about identity theft. Okay, and then kind of lastly, you really need to build relationships and thank people. Real basic, you guys, I know. But you've got to build relationships and thank people. People, you want people glad to see you. They used to call me, you know, the legal lady. Oh, here comes a little legal lady. You know, that's what they knew, you know, they knew me as. Oh, here comes a little legal lady. You know, or they'd ask about me if they hadn't seen me in a while. If you're consistent and you're building an area like I did over the years, people will remember you and people will help you. For example, the fire captain who had me in to dinner with his crew in 1992, he also was the president of the association, he invited me to have dinner with his crew at the firehouse in 1992. He is still a friend today in 2012. He is now the fire chief. He always invites me to his office. He always takes my calls, and he still owns his membership 20 years later. The teacher who let me present at his hilltop school, this little itty-bitty school in the middle of the desert, I mean, you really had to really want to get there in 1994, is now the elected county superintendent over all the schools. He has me in from time to time. He makes fun of me. He calls me his little microburst because he just remembers me when I was so wild. He has me come in and talk to all of his superintendents of all the schools in a meeting. He lets me present. I talk to his superintendents. Remember, he's a politician. I donate $200 to his whole school for the lunch. And guess what, you guys? He still owns his membership. And lastly, the transportation director at one of my school districts passed away this year. Her name was Vicki, and after 20 years, she still had her membership. And her assistant stepped up and, in her honor, made sure that all the school bus drivers and all the mechanics got a packet. And they all heard the Legal Shield story. And that's the true story, you guys. That's about the group business. That's what our group business is really about. It's about these relationships, and I'm sure that Ken Moore, the leader of our team, could testify to all of this and say it's all true.
Linda, what an outstanding job. You always do an outstanding job. And yes, it is all true, double true, but you left one little thing out that has nothing to do with the fact. But the day that you met with me with a black eye, we went to Elk City, and you got up and told the guys you had a mean boss. In fact, I was sitting there, and you pointed me out and said, he did this to me. I remember that, Linda, so I'm still going to get even with you someday. But you did write, maybe I remember in that fire department that day. You remember that day?
Absolutely.
All the firefighters.
Of course they do.
They really, yeah, I sure do. But anyhow, we're so proud of you, Linda. So very, very proud. You're just another one of my kids, and it makes an old man feel very proud and very honored to have you on our team. And thank you so much for everything you've contributed over the last 25 years, and you will contribute the next 25. Thank you. And by the way, Linda, I didn't tell people, and I need to tell everybody, Michael Hughes, which is on our team, of course, David Hughes, Chris Hughes, Jeff Hughes' brother. His wife had a heart attack a couple of days ago. She, you know, she's been carrying twins, and so everybody keep her in your prayers, because that's a very serious thing, as you know. So, ladies and gentlemen, the next call will be at 9. It's going to be a wonderful, great call. We love every one of you. Let's keep putting God first, and family second, and Legal Shield third. And thank you so much for being on the call tonight. We love each one of you. God bless you, and we'll listen for you at 9 o'clock.